Welcome to Heartline. I'm Rita Schulte, a licensed therapist in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and I'm passionate about matters of the heart. I want to check the pulse on your heart by taking a look at some of the cutting-edge issues that are affecting you and the people around you, and have you consider, how in the world is all this mess called life affecting your heart? To help stir things up, we're going to be talking to some of the leading professionals in the Christian counseling and literary industry, as well as hosting discussions with real people who are struggling with real life issues. If you want to know a little bit about me, check me out at siftedaswheat.com, where you can ask questions, find out about my book, listen to other podcasts, or request to be a guest on the show. You can also find me on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC, or follow me on Twitter at Heartline Pod. So let's get going on this journey of the heart.
Hi, my name is Carla. I wanted to share a little bit with you of what I gleaned from the Experiencing God Bible study. I was raised in a Christian home. My dad was a minister, and the church I grew up in was fairly legalistic. And like many legalistic churches, we strive to be a doing church. We always wanted to be active doing things for God as if He desperately needed our help. Regular church attendance, serving in church ministries, visitation, those are all good things, but we became legalistic about those things. Many of my dad's fellow minister friends were all about the numbers. How many were in attendance? Was the attendance growing or slipping? Was there a building program? What did that look like? When I did the Experiencing God Bible study, it really challenged many of the thought patterns that I grew up with. The first one, as I already mentioned, was the doing. In this study, I realized that much more than doing things for God, He wanted a relationship with me, a state of being. I believe somewhere it mentions that we're human beings and not human doings. That's a powerful revelation. God is really more interested in my relationship with Him than in all those acts of service that I might offer. Another point that really rang home with me was the question, what is God's will for my life? That's a question we often ask. Does He want me to be a teacher, a doctor, a missionary? What? Well, Henry Blackaby says that we ask the wrong question, that the correct question is, what is God's will? Period. Now that takes the focus off of me in my life and puts it back on God. What is God's will? What are His purposes? Once He reveals that, I should then adjust my life to Him and join Him in His work. I don't need to do a great work for the Lord because He's already doing the great work. I just need to join Him in the work that He's already doing. I need to be in a day-to-day continuous relationship with Him and rest in the fact that He will reveal Himself to me. He will reveal His purposes and His ways. Our dependence should be totally on God, not on a program, a method, or a formula. God's revelation of Himself was, and still is, unique to the individual. Another thing that was key for me was being reminded of the things that only God can do. Only He can draw people to Himself. Only God reveals spiritual truth. I've witnessed many believers who've attempted to do all those things that only God can do. And if those are things that only God can do, then what should I be doing? Well, I should be in constant relationship with Him and join Him in His work. Is it possible then that relating to God daily is His will for me? More than a defined job description? More than a roadmap for my life? I think so. I should be in constant relationship with Him, open to Him redirecting me at any time. His will for me is Him. He will reveal to me any details as we go forward, and I can trust Him to work out those details.
Have you ever had a life-changing experience with someone? What if that someone was God? What if you could experience God, know Him intimately, and know His direction for your life? Dr. Henry Blackaby is here today to talk about his book, Experiencing God. The book and Bible study have sold over 5 million copies worldwide. Dr. Blackaby is president of Blackaby Ministries International, founded to help people experience God in a more intimate way. This study was personally life-changing for me, and I'm so excited to have him here today to share. Dr. Blackaby, welcome to Heartline.
It's good to be with you.
Experiencing God will always be one of my favorite Bible studies. I led the study several times years ago, and it was a real rich time for me. And I think the heart of your message is that the Christian life really is about knowing God. And knowing God isn't the same thing as experiencing Him, is it? Can you talk about the difference and what it really means to know God?
Well, the term to know God has the implication of head knowledge. To know, meaning to understand. And I found that the people that I talk with across the nation wanted to know, how in the world can I experience in my life what I know in my head? And they were not given any help to do that. So that's basically the basis of writing the book Experiencing God, is because a lot of it came out of my work with college students, university students, who were struggling with how to form their life so they could experience in their life what they knew in their head. So head knowledge is one thing, but then to experience that in your life is quite another. So that was the basis for which I wrote the book.
Mm. Yeah, it's like I think about the Greek word gnosko, to know. It's an intellectual knowing and an experiential knowing. So we can have facts, head knowledge, know the Bible, know the scriptures, but not have that experience of God making something in the Bible rhema to us.
Yep.
Okay, so we all want to know God. We want God to show us the way, reveal His will for our lives, tell us what to do. Are we asking the wrong things when we pray like that? And if so, what should we be asking?
Well, God has chosen to reveal Himself in the Scriptures, and He has given us His Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God like a sword. Each of us have access to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God, who will help us. He is our teacher. But a lot of people have never been told that. And they've never been told, for instance, how to walk in the Spirit, and therefore have a life that's pleasing to God. So I try to help people understand the difference between head knowledge and experiencing in our life what we know in our head.
And how do you do that? Give us some key principles.
Well, part of it is just believing Him. Abraham was not seeking God. God was seeking Abraham. Abraham didn't have a direction for his life, but God did. And so God, in Genesis 12, said, "Abraham, let me tell you what I'm going to do with you." So when I read that, I understand that the same God who encountered Abraham is the same God who's encountering me. So I can know what His ways are and His purposes are. Isaiah 5, God says, "My ways are not yours, and my thoughts aren't yours. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so far removed are they." Well, I just believe that. When I read that, I understand I'm not just reading a book. I'm encountering the God who authored the book, and see it as an invitation from God to know Him the way He's revealing Himself. And I think of Jesus and the disciples. The disciples were not seeking Him. He was seeking them. And He saw the fishermen and said, "Come follow me, and you will inherit the kingdom of heaven." And so they left their fish nets and followed Him. And for the first time in their life, they saw what it is like to have all heaven's resources so close to one person who's willing to respond to God.
Mm.
So they saw the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame leap, the multitudes fed, the storm stilled, the dead raised. And that basically was what the kingdom of heaven is all about. And those disciples could experience the kingdom of heaven as long as they walked that closely with Jesus. And so I say to myself, that's the same invitation that He gives to me. And the same God who related to Jesus is the same God who's relating to me. Can I recognize what He's doing around my life? For instance, in John 17, Jesus said, "Father, these men, these 12 men, were yours, and you gave them to me. You told me what to tell them, and I've told them, and they have believed." And, of course, gave them an assignment and said, "Wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high," and they did. And these men that Jesus chose, these fishermen, I don't think Peter ever dreamed that he would be speaking to several thousand people.
Right.
And they literally, according to the people in Thessalonica, they said, these men who are turning the world upside down are coming here next. So I asked myself, the same God who is working through them is the same God who's working through me. Can I see any similarities in God's activity in my life? And of course, he gave us five children, four boys and a girl. And I have said all along, Father, these children were yours, and you gave them to me, and you entrusted my wife and I with them. You have something in mind for them, so help me to live in such a way before them that they would all choose to want to serve the God they saw my life serve. And so all four boys have pastored churches and are now active in ministry, and our daughter is a career missionary in Germany with her husband doing church planting.
Mm-hmm.
And now our grandchildren. The oldest grandson graduated from seminary, and the second oldest grandson is in seminary.
What a legacy.
And people say, well, that's amazing. And I said, no, that's very biblical.
You say God is a pursuer God. That's what you're talking about. He's taking the initiative to seek after us.
Yes.
What's our responsibility?
Well, number one, to believe that that's what he does. See, this is the most biblically illiterate generation of believers I've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not into the Word of God, there's no way you can know the ways of God. But once you open the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit is your teacher, He will show you specifically, and it'll be unique for each individual, what it is that God has in mind. The key is not what I want to do for God. The key is what God has in mind he wants to do in me and then through me.
That's so powerful. Well, how can we know if we're in the center of God's will?
You'll see God at work. But you see, the average believer does not know how to even recognize the presence of God. We have theology, we have doctrine, but we don't have relationship.
That's the key.
Yeah, you have to have the relationship. And of course, that's when I gave the publisher some of my material, they said, you ought to call this Knowing God. And I said, absolutely not. I said, what I hear all across the land is, how can I experience in my life what I know in my head? And they said, well, seminary professors won't like that. I said, I'm not writing for seminary professors. I'm writing for the common person,
mm-hmm,
who are crying out, how can I experience in my life what I know in my head? So we have enough head knowledge, but we're not being taught, how do you come to experience the God you know in your head, to experience him actively at work in your life?
So then you're watching for stuff.
I often say, well, look at your children. If you're married and you have children, have you seen your children as a gift of God? And have you seen them in the light of the fact that God may have something in mind for them? And I'm convinced that my children may do far more in their lifetime than I've ever done in mine.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them are writing. All of them have written a book, and all of them have written a book on their own. It doesn't surprise me. They watched what I was doing and how God used that, and it automatically became a part of their life.
So they're noticing. We're all noticing what God is doing in our lives. And then we're wanting to join him in what he's doing.
Yeah, he's the master,
mm-hmm,
and we're the servant. The servant needs to know what the master's up to and join him.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's not a complicated truth.
Well, joining God requires surrender then, doesn't it? I mean, surrendering our agenda for him. We may think we have something.
It does, because of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
See, he would say, I'm God, I'm not man. You don't treat me like you would a friend down the street. I am God, and there's nothing impossible for me. And I've left the record in the Scriptures and in history of what I'm capable of doing and what I want to do. So none of that is unavailable to your life. So it's not that I don't know how to recognize God's work. I do. He's given me all the reasons to know how to recognize his work. But we just don't, we're not in that direction. We're not focusing on knowing and experiencing God. We may want to know more about him, But then transition from knowing about him to experiencing him is quite dramatic. And there are very few who are teaching that.
So do you think it's because we have our own agendas? I mean, it's like you said, we want God's up to something. It's not what can we do for God. It's us surrendering our own agendas and making adjustments in our own lives in order to surrender to what he's doing?
Yeah, what you do next reveals what you believe about God.
Mm-hmm.
Is he God? And if so, what is it that you know about God? What's he who spoke a word and brought creation into being, that's an enormous understanding of God. What can God do when he speaks a word to me? We're often saying, Lord, speak to me, but we don't have any clue what that might look like or how I need to respond. So when God spoke in creation, all of the created universe came into being. Does he have that capability? Yes.
So that's really a powerful concept. If we look at the enormity of who God is and how he spoke in the Bible and think about he can do the same thing in my life, I think we lose sight of that. He can do the same thing in my life, like he spoke to these saints of old.
The God who spoke to Abraham is the God who's speaking to me.
To me, absolutely.
And
that's
the God
powerful.
Who spoke to Isaiah or Jeremiah or the disciples or Paul, and all through history. We have 2,000 years of history of what God has done in the life of those who believe him and respond to him.
Okay, but we can experience the type of intimacy you're talking about without trusting God's heart. If we believe God's good, then it's easy for us to accept his will for our lives. But if we don't, we have to address whatever's hindering us from trusting him. And that's where I see people getting stuck. When bad things happen to them, their trust in God starts to wax and wane. So what kind of things can we do on a practical level to help people address that?
I always use Scripture. I never talk to a person apart from Scripture.
Okay.
So I listen to where they're struggling and then say, well, let me tell you what God has revealed of himself in such a situation. And the God who has revealed this in his word is the same God who's now relating to you. But they've never heard that. They never, number one, they are biblically illiterate, so they don't know what God has revealed. And so they have to guess. But I keep saying to them, don't guess at what the God of the universe will do or say. He has revealed it to you. Well, I'm just not into the Scripture. And I said, no wonder you're struggling, because you don't have any other way to know the mind and heart and ways of God or the purposes of God except from the Scriptures.
And the Scriptures say that God is good, even when the bottom drops out of my life.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I'll take them back to Genesis, and it says God saw, he spoke, it came to be, and it was good. And each of those moments of creation ends with, and it is good. And the same God who does that in Scripture, same God who's doing it to you. So when he speaks to you, it will come to pass, and it will be good. But then they'll say, well, how do I know when God is speaking? And that's why we wrote a whole book on hearing God, because they didn't know how to hear God. He doesn't hide himself. He never has. The problem is not with God, it's with us. We don't have the heart to know him. But if you know him and know how you know his voice and how you know what he's doing, it will radically change your life.
How can we know if we're in the center of his will, Dr. Blackaby?
You'll see him doing what he said he'll do. I always look for the activity of God, not for what I'm doing for God, but I'm looking for the presence and power and activity of God in my life. And there's some things that only he can do. He's the only one who can convince of sin. And when you see him convicting someone of sin, I always just tell them, you need to know that your concern about your sin is not your activity, it's God's activity. He doesn't want you to experience death in any area of your life, but the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So he will always let you know when you're headed toward death or when you're headed toward life, and then watch to see what happens next. I'm certainly watching carefully to see what's happening in the life of all my children and my grandchildren. And individuals say to me, well, it's amazing how all of your children are functioning. And I said, no, it isn't. That's exactly what God said he would do. If I would be the person he wants me to be, he will help my children to be the people that he wants them to be. That's so strong in the scripture. But you see, we don't know the scripture. When you don't know the scripture, you don't know what to look for.
You say God works to accomplish his divine purposes.
Yeah.
Doesn't that include the trials and the mistakes and the lessons learned? I mean, God may need to accomplish something in our lives and in our hearts before he wants us to join him.
Well, you know, sin is very real, and God knew sin was very real. And what did it cost God to deal with sin so that sin would not destroy it? Well, it cost him the life of his son. He takes sin very seriously. We don't. And so we go on sinning and then expect life to come in abundance. Well, read the scripture. The scripture says, for instance, in Proverbs, if I keep sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So when a person says to me, I just don't know whether God's listening to me, I'll quote that scripture and say, you need to take a careful inventory to see if you're holding sin in any measure in your life, then you'll know why God doesn't hear you. Mm. He doesn't bless a life that is committed to sin. He just doesn't do that.
How does God speak to us today? What should we be looking for?
Well, how did God speak in the scriptures? Sometimes it was through events like storms. He can bring someone across our life that has a unique relationship to God. And when he brings someone across my life that has a unique relationship to God, I always assume that this is God's invitation for me to come to know him in ways I've never known him before. And so, one, he brings conviction of sin. Do I recognize that when I hear a message on Sunday or I'm reading the Bible and there comes a conviction of sin? Do I recognize that that is God who is inviting me to go in a new direction? Or do I just say, well, I guess I'm learning something today? No. It's more than just learning something. It's an encounter with God. And he is trying to bring us from where we are to where he knows we need to be. Well, that's a very real truth to me.
Yes.
And so I watch very carefully. And, of course, I study the Bible to know the ways of God and the purposes of God. And the best place to do that is in the Gospels, because Jesus reveals the nature of God and the ways of God in the way he lived. And so if I see those things happening around my life, it doesn't cost my life that that's not God. He's the only one who can do that. But can you imagine a person trying to guess as to whether what's happening to them, God has anything to do with it? Does he ever allow significant tragedy to come to our life? Well, look in the scripture and see whether he did.
Sure he did.
Yeah. And what is he trying to tell us? Mm-hmm. Well, he's certainly trying to get our attention. And usually a tragedy can draw you to God, where you cry out unto God, or you can start to curse God. But that's a choice we make. But you can look in the scripture and see that when people made either choice, what happened?
Yeah, that's a great point.
See, the scripture reveals the ways of God, the purposes of God, so that when he works in our life, we'll know it's God.
Mm-hmm. If encounters with God require faith, then what do we do about the silence of God, times when we feel like he's closed up shop and gone to Mars?
See, what we think about God is not true. You have to know God from the scriptures. And so everywhere I go, whether it's a general conference, CEO, pastors, I'm always basing everything that I share with them on scripture and tying the scriptures into real life.
So when people say to you, you know, Henry, God's been silent in my life, I don't know what's going on, what might you say to them?
I'd say, is there any time in scripture where God was silent? And the answer is yes.
Yes.
But was he always silent? No.
No.
There comes an end to that. But the silence suddenly makes us aware of our need for the relationship with God. And so in the silence, we may cry out unto God, or in the silence, we may curse God. Why are you doing this? Well, if you know God, you would ask that question with a great deal of humility and not with arrogance.
Right.
See, we function as though we're God and that we know everything, and when it doesn't make sense to us, we then blame God.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we always blame God when things don't work out? Why don't we see the scripture, the wages of sin is death?
We always want to blame God or other, you know, we never consider that people have free will either.
No, and in some ways it's not free because we're always subject to the consequences. We're free to choose, but not free to choose the results.
Mm-hmm.
And so we choose and hope that it'll bring a blessing. And when it doesn't, we sort of get upset. And I'd say, why don't you look at the scripture and see the choice you just made and realize the choice you just made is bringing the results that God said you would experience. But you want to choose one way and have the results another.
Yeah, that's for sure. You continually drive the point home that all of this is about a relationship with a person, Jesus
yep.
Christ. He's the one working. We just need to be persistent and follow the call. And I think that's where people get discouraged and give up. A less than immediate answer means God's not working.
Yeah, you see, we need to understand that all of God is working all the time. So we need to know what it is that the Father does, what it is that the Son does, and what it is that the Holy Spirit does. We need to respond to all there is of God. And even in creation, all three persons were present and active. But all through the Bible, whenever it indicates that God is at work, that means all there is of God is at work.
Dr. Blackaby, unfortunately, we're out of time for today. Thank you so much for being our guest today. It was awesome to talk to you. Blessings in all you continue to do and put your hands to.
Thank you. You're very kind to say that.
God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
For more information on Blackaby Ministries International, please go to blackaby.org or blackaby.net.
Thanks for joining me today. If you have a question or comment, or you'd like to be a guest on Heartline, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at siftedaswheat.com, on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC, or Twitter at Heartline Pod. And remember, it's your heart. Keep it alive. Check the pulse.